Just as we're seated, let me lead us in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the scriptures, and we pray that as we read and meditate on them now, we might find you speaking to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, over the last few weeks, just for those of you who are visiting us, we've been looking at this little letter to the Colossians that Charles just read to us from. And it's one of the numerous little letters that make up the New Testament. And one of the things that I think gives the Bible its sense of immediacy and reality, because it's pretty amazing that we can read something like this, 2,000 years old, and still find it speaking to us with freshness in our lives today. And one of the reasons for that is that the Bible is a book or a collection of books and letters written to real people in real situations. And, you know, that means there are things that we can connect with in our own real lives. And the real people in this case lived in this little town called Colossae. And if I remember rightly, at Sea Sunday last year, I put the question to us, what's the most precious cargo that's ever been carried by sea? And I ventured to suggest that the most precious thing ever carried by sea was the message about Jesus, the good news of Christ as it went around the Mediterranean. Because after Jesus lived and died and rose again, the message about him became a global export. People, gripped by their encounter with Christ, felt compelled to go and tell others what they had found and discovered, just all over the place. And someone like that found their way to this little town of Colossae, which in Devon terms is a little bit like finding your way to Sheepwash. Okay, now I know that someone's going to come up to me afterwards and say, you know, I grew up in Sheepwash. I'm from Sheepwash in North Devon. And I've absolutely nothing against Sheepwash. It's a lovely place, but you can hardly say that it's on the beaten track. Population 254, one pub, no post office. And if you've never heard of Sheepwash, exactly. That's the point. That's the kind of place that Colossae was. But the people of Colossae had begun a journey, so to speak. They had, because it's Sea Sunday, they had embarked on a voyage, let's say, which changed their lives. And I'd like for us just to sail alongside HMS Colossae for a few minutes, because in these few verses, the Apostle Paul introduces us to the captain. He has some advice for the crew, and he gives us a flavor of the morale on board. So first of all, let's just meet the captain. The crew of HMS Colossae had recently received a new captain, so to speak. Some of them would originally have been Jews, some of them would have been pagans, but they'd recently become Christians, begun this voyage with Christ, as it were. And there's just two verses I want to read again to you from that reading that Charles read, where he says, "So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness." Those first words, "so then," just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord. So in other words, the new captain of HMS Colossae was Jesus Christ, so to speak. Now the Apostle Paul is just saying something stunning here. He says they receive Christ Jesus as Lord. And when you ask the question, Lord? Lord of what? The answer that Paul gives is Lord of everything. Listen to how the Apostle puts it a few verses earlier on in this little letter. He says, "Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, for by him all things were created." It's a stunning thing to say about someone. In other words, what he's saying is that the one who was born in a barn and laid in a manger and tucked in by his mother was the one also who, in some sense, created his mother. It's a stunning thing to say. Or the one who walked and talked and ate with his friends was the one who created his friends and created the food they ate and created the sun they walked under. And the one who hung on the cross, rejected by his friends and scorned by his enemies, with nails driven through his hands, was the one who with those hands had flung stars into space. It's just the most stunning thing to assert. This Jesus Christ is God become man. We went for a visit to the Natural History Museum with the kids up in London a few months ago. Do you like the Natural History Museum? It's just, I remember the first time I ever went, seeing that great big blue whale in there. Do you remember seeing? It's just stunning, isn't it? It's just a wonderful place, full of all kinds of amazing birds and beasts. And next to each exhibit, there's a little plaque, if you look, that has someone's name on it. The collector who donated it, or the zoologist who first identified it. And there's lots of different names. But on each plaque, you know, there could have been another name. The collector, the zoologist, and the creator. Because as you wander around the dinosaur hall and you see those huge skeletons, you ought to know Jesus Christ made them. And as you go a bit further and see that vast, huge, full-size model of the blue whale, you ought to know Jesus Christ makes them. And as you go into the Earth Sciences section and there's that great big model of planet Earth, you ought to know Jesus Christ is Lord and creator of everything. Just trying to underline what a stunning thing the Apostle Paul, what a stunning thing the New Testament is saying. All things created by him, the ruler of everything, because he's the maker of everything. But just think about it for a moment. Paul is saying that a man who died 20 or 30 years earlier, a man who had been personally known to many people who Paul knew, a man who had died a death on a cross in living memory, Paul's saying these kinds of things about that man. And as I say, a stunning thing to say, but it wasn't a conclusion they came to easily, but multiple things drove them to this conclusion that Jesus was God become man. Among them, that little story I just told when the children were still in of the calming of the storm, which led them to ask, who is this? Eventually, they were driven to this conclusion. A couple of years ago, I had the privilege of spending a day on one of the Royal Navy's frigates as part of the Thursday War, which I gather takes place regularly most Thursdays off the coast of Plymouth. We're generally unaware of it, aren't we? But there we are. And it was just the most impressive day. It's just wonderful. Teamwork, the organization, the skill. It actually led to a brief midlife crisis where I was thinking, I wish I'd done that with my life. It was just the most impressive thing. And one of the things that struck me was the politeness, even the respect of people. As I walked round the ship, people were stopping what they were doing, jumping out of their seats, even saluting. And I thought, well, I'd never been treated like this before. And then I realized it had nothing to do with me, but it was because the Admiral was standing next to me. Because, of course, there's an appropriate way to respond and to receive an Admiral when he comes on board ship. And Paul says of these people in Colossae, they received Christ Jesus as Lord. Well, what did he mean by that? What does it look like to receive Christ Jesus as Lord? And one of the things that I've often used here at St. Andrew's is just to help sort of get a grip on it, is if you mentally picture a triangle in your mind's eye, triangle, and along the long bottom line of the triangle, you just kind of envisage everything that is in your life, just the whole multifaceted variety of things that make up your life. So your hopes, your fears, your dreams, who you're married to, who you'd like to be married to, your hobbies, what makes you laugh, what you do in your spare time, what you read, what you own. Do you know what I mean? Just the people, everything, just all the multiple things that there are in life. That's all squeezed in there on that bottom line of the triangle. Just go up the triangle a little bit, and the sides come in, so the next line up's a little bit shorter. So out of all that stuff that life is made up of, you've got to choose to leave some things on the bottom line and then bring the more important things up to the next shorter line, not as much room. Sides go in, shorter line, a little bit further up. What are the more important things that you keep on the line? It goes up, 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 until you get to a little short line right at the top of the triangle. What in all the things that your life is made up of, what are the few things right at the top of the triangle? It's sort of a good thing that's good to ponder from time to time, to ask myself, what are the most important things to me in my life? And I guess at that stage, for most of us, the most important things are people, right at the top. And then when we get to the very top of the triangle, and it's just a point, there's only room for one thing. And to receive Christ Jesus as Lord, as these guys have done in Colossae, is to realize that he needs to be the one thing at the top of the triangle, the most important thing in life. How else could it be otherwise, given who he is? So meet the captain, as it were. Then Paul has some advice for the crew of HMS Colossae. They've recently received this captain, recognized that he needs to be the most important thing in their lives. And he says to them, so then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. And there are three little images there of what it means to have Christ as your captain, so to speak. I think I've told this story before, but I had a lovely friend who sadly has passed away. He was an old man when I first got to know him 20 years ago. But when he was a younger man and he was first called up into military service, he was at the new recruits base, and he was being, along with his other sort of friends, was being knocked into shape, what it means to be in military life. And they were on having a uniform inspection, he told me one morning, and they were all standing to attention, being inspected, and whoever it was carrying out the inspection said to him, young man, your uniform's not quite in order. Who's your commanding officer? And he'd recently become a Christian, and he said, my commanding officer is Jesus Christ. For which, well, he didn't quite go into how much trouble he got into for saying that, and he had to learn what it meant to be a member of the military. Paul is outlining here, what does it mean, in a genuine sense, to live with Christ Jesus as Lord? And did you see he had three images just there? He had the image of being rooted, the image of being built up, and the image of overflowing. The image of being rooted is the image of a tree, isn't it? A tree growing. The image of being built up is the image of a building. And the image of overflowing is the image of a well, digging water. Now, what have all those three images got in common? They've got in common this, that with a tree and a building and a well, you pick your spot carefully, and then you dig down as deep as you can go. Pick your spot carefully, dig down as deep as you can go. He's saying that to be a Christian is to have found something so amazing and precious, Jesus Christ, that I want to do all I can to get to know as much as I can about him. Like a tree putting down deep roots. There's a tree in California. We went to one of, three or four years ago, went to one of those parks where the redwoods grow. If you know those huge, enormous, wonderful trees. And there's one there, California, called the General Sherman. And they reckon it's about 2,500 years old, this tree. Isn't that amazing? 2,500 years. Stood still in that one spot for all those years. But General Sherman is particularly famous for growing. Largest single stem tree in the world, 84 meters tall, 7.7 meters in diameter. They reckon its volume is 1,487 cubic meters. They think it weighs about 2,000 tons because no one's chopped it down to find out for sure. And the General Sherman used to be a seed. Isn't it an amazing thought? But by staying in that one particularly fertile spot, it has grown to be something incredible, something wonderful. Its roots, imagine how far down its roots go and spread. I happened to be at a meeting in the City of London, right in the city, and just with all those skyscrapers with the weird names they give them this year, the Gherkin and the Shard, and there's one called the Cheese Grater now, I think, isn't there? And they tower above you, but there was one they were constructing, and just peering through the gateway into it, you can see the foundations being dug down so deep. Or a well that gets dug deep to overflow. Paul is saying, to have found Jesus Christ is to found something that you could endlessly dig down into and find life that will grow out of it into you forevermore. That's the advice that he gives to the crew. Develop your relationship with Jesus Christ. And then finally, he gives a flavor of the ship's morale. He says, that last image, being overflowing with thankfulness. He says, HMS Colossae, so to speak, is to be a happy ship, overflowing with thanksgiving. Or at least Paul wants them to be a happy kind of ship. And what you're thankful for, would you describe yourself as a thankful person? What you're thankful for demonstrates what's really important to you, doesn't it? And actually, there are some things that are important to us that we're not thankful for and we need bringing into our consciousness. So the Merchant Navy is one of those things. Many of us are unaware that so many of the things that we own, possess, eat, and so on have been brought to us across the seas, entirely unaware of that industry. Something to be very, very thankful for. We teach our children to be thankful, to say thankful. It's just the most healthy thing to be thankful. But in particular, just here, he's saying, as a Christian, let your thanksgiving overflow because you have so much to give thanks for in Jesus Christ. I was very struck to read the account. Do you remember the very sad story of the Costa Concordia in 2012, which ran aground and sadly 32 people died? I was reading the account of the trial of the captain of that ship a while ago, and it said the captain was put on trial for manslaughter, but I also noticed he was put on trial for abandoning his ship, and that was something considered essentially criminal. And what Paul is saying just here, he's saying, you Colossians, you've received Christ Jesus as Lord, and what you need to know is that you have a captain who, far from abandoning his ship, has laid down his very life in order that you might live. What a thought. The one who is creator of everything, spreading his arms wide on a cross, that we might receive forgiveness and everlasting life. Just as we were celebrating the Queen's birthday last month, I came across some words that she said on one of her Christmas Day broadcasts. She said this: although we're capable of great acts of kindness, history teaches us that we need saving from ourselves, from our recklessness or our greed. Well, she says, God sent into the world a unique person, neither a philosopher or a general, though important they are, but he sent a savior with the power to forgive. Paul is saying, when that truth sinks deep down inside of us, it wells up in thanksgiving and joy for all the difference Jesus Christ makes to a life. So as we remain seated, let us bow our heads in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus Christ, God become man, for our sake, for our life, for our joy. Amen.